The scripture reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 18 through 30. Romans chapter 8. It's found on page 1184 of the Bibles that are in your chairs. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 18, hear now the word of the Lord. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Praise be to God for this reading of his holy word this morning. As a song from that rock band Guns N' Roses goes, all we need is just a little patience. These are words that especially ring true during the Christmas season when everyone is rushing and pushing and stepping on each other, trying to get to the latest store sales, ignoring one another, not listening to each other. And it saddens me that people sometimes say that they just wish the season would be over already. And when I hear that, I know that stress has gotten the better of a person and everything's just becoming overwhelming for them. I think we tend to overextend ourselves, overinvite ourselves, overgift ourselves, overeat, overdrink, and continue to overwork this time of year. What we need is a little patience with one another and with ourselves. I once had a supervisor who told me that if he was going to take on a new project, he always had to ask himself, what was he going to let go of? Right? Because he already had a full plate of things to do in his job and his work. And if he was going to start a new project, a new thing, he always had to ask himself, what am I going to not do? Because that was going to happen one way or another. Either he could think about it or something was just going to fall by the wayside. And I'm afraid that all too many people today, they add so much to their already full schedules and plates during the Christmas season. They never let go of anything. Or the things that they do end up letting go of end up being very important things in their lives. And the stress gets the better of them. And they become overwhelmed and impatient. The New Testament epistle of Galatians says that one fruit of the Spirit of God is patience. When patience becomes that continuous way of life in a believer, it's showing the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's work in that person's life. Of course, we can resist that work and that gift of the Spirit, or we could allow ourselves to receive that gift of patience. what I'm calling this second gift of Christmas here in this Advent season. Some people exude patience, and I'm always impressed when I see it. I usually see it in teachers and others who are really good at working with children. They know how to listen and to spend time with them and to reflect back what they're hearing, even though it takes extra time and patience and attention and focus. They don't get too upset too easily when the children make mistakes. They have a lot of patience, and you can see it in them. I've also seen patience shining brightly in nurses and others who work with the ill and the injured. The hospitalized and institutionalized have many needs, and people come from so many cultures and backgrounds. It takes a lot of patience in order to understand what exactly is being said, what exactly is needed at a moment, and to know what you can do and what you can't do for a particular person or patient. I've seen many nurses really do this well. I've also observed the fruit of patience in good counselors and friends. They just know when to be quiet and listen. You can see in their eyes there's a lot going on in their heads, and they'd love to jump in maybe to say something, but they don't. They wait, and they listen, and they only speak up when they really need to. I think there's a reason we pay certain people like counselors and psychotherapists to listen patiently to us. Unfortunately, it's such a rare skill and gift that we have to go to those who specialize in patient listening. It's impressive when we see patience at work in our world. And when we do see it, it could mean we're seeing a fruit of the Spirit of God at work. We need this gift, just a little patience. We need this gift because, yes, there are so many times in life when we have to wait for something or someone. And if we choose not to wait, but instead try to rush things and push things according to our own timetables and agendas, we just may subvert the God order, ordained natural order of things, and get ourselves into trouble. Impatience can actually hurt someone or ourselves. It's not always good to always be in a hurry, because some things done in a hurry can cause damage. When we are in a hurry, we make mistakes. We forget important information. We forget about the importance of relationships, of friendships. We forget about the importance of spending time with God. We're so in a hurry of working for the life that we don't have, we don't enjoy the life we do have. We just need a little patience, maybe to slow down or to try to understand and empathize with the other person and what they're going through. We can allow a little extra time. We can take time to listen. We can stop rushing to judgment and hurried actions. Perhaps we could try to be patient like we are with our own grandmothers when we're walking behind them. Slowing down. We can learn perspective on life that maybe our grandmothers taught us or are teaching us right now, that certain things in life just take time to grow and develop in their own way. And there's also so much suffering in the world today, even in our own church and even in our own families. And in Advent season, we await the day when we will no longer have to endure such struggles and pains. We await the day when all things will be made right, when justice is done to perfection, when evildoers are punished and the righteous are rewarded for their faith and courage and hope and all of their patience. And patience is required as we wait for that future glory, our future glory with God in Christ. For as the Apostle Paul says in chapter 8 of Romans, just before our reading, that the children of God share in the sufferings of Christ. And indeed we do. So first this morning, that suffering that we all experience in life is put into perspective in the first part of our reading, verses 18 to 25 of Romans chapter 8. Suffering is put into a bigger eternal perspective. Paul says in verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. He acknowledges how hard it is to live life in a fallen world with all of its sufferings that we do endure, but he acknowledges that there's something more, too. There's something to hope for, something to look forward to. It's a glory that will not even compare to what we're going through right now. And he uses a very common image of childbirth to make his point. Childbirth is very painful. It's a struggle. It can be a long ordeal. But in the end, with the presence of new life in your arms, you're so filled with joy and gratitude and love that you could forget about all the pain, the struggle, and the ordeal you went through. So I'm told. Paul continues in verses 19 and following. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for creation was subjected to frustration. The words used here in the original have the sense of someone craning their neck to see over the crowd. Someone on tiptoes, really, like seeing what's going to come, what's going to happen. Maybe like Zacchaeus looking over the crowd of people. Who's coming? What's going on? Creation waits in eager expectation for something is coming. Something's going to happen. Because not only humans, but all of created world has been impacted by the curse brought on by Adam and Eve, subject to frustration, as it says. And the entire created world waits for what? For liberation. It says in verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And in verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Even believers must struggle, as the world does too. So even believers who have the Spirit living in them groan inwardly as we wait for the creation, we wait for the new creation and the resurrection of the body. Paul has mentioned this earlier in the first few verses of chapter 5 of Romans. There he wrote, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces certain good things. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Suffering is put into perspective. Our present suffering is part of life in this fallen world. It's normal for now. Our present suffering has a good purpose, ending ultimately in hope. How can we be patient as we live in the world and with all of the pain, the childbirth-like pains of life? Well, our patience can be strengthened by the fact that the Holy Spirit of God has already been poured out into our hearts. That love, grace, that freedom that we already experience in the here and now. We already now have the first fruits of the Spirit, and that can help us in our need for a little patience as we endure the trials that we go through today. We've already been blessed with the pledge of the Spirit, but we wait for more blessings to come. Being strangers and aliens here on earth, we continue to look forward to our heavenly home. We live in hope of things to come, and we wait for them. It continues to say in verses 24 and 25 of chapter 8, for in this hope, hope of the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. The original word for patiently there has a sense of endurance. We endure patiently. We have much to endure in this life as we patiently await our future glory with God in Christ. So suffering is put into eternal perspective as we patiently wait and endure our trials, craning our necks to see that the future glory that is to come. But Paul does more than just give us some perspective on life and suffering here. He also explains how God helps us wait patiently. In verses 26 through 30, this is how God helps us to wait patiently. Not something we have to do just on our own. God is helping us. So Paul continues in verse 26 saying, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. In the same way, the very presence of the Spirit in our hearts and lives gives us hope, he also helps. And just as the entire creation groans, Christians continue to groan too. We do not know what we ought to pray for, it says, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. Sometimes our trials and our sufferings in life can just be so intense we don't even know what to pray for or even how to pray. Even in those times, be assured, the Spirit is praying for us with groans that words cannot express. Just as we groan in our waiting and travail, so the Spirit translates our groaning and perfects our prayers. There's comfort in knowing that God knows our hearts, and he knows our hurts too. And he hears the prayers of our hearts when we cannot even form the words with our mouths. We can endure with the Spirit praying for us when we can't. So in this passage of Scripture, there are three ways God helps us to wait patiently. And the first way is through prayer, Spirit-led prayer, the Spirit praying for us. It also talks about providence and predestination. Prayer, providence, and predestination, three ways that God helps us to wait patiently. In verse 28, Paul says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is God's providential hand in all things. God is using all things that happen to us to work together toward a good purpose. For those who love God and have been called by God, the trials, the struggles, the griefs that we experience in life, they don't leave us without hope. And they're not without meaning or purpose. God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose in all things. I don't always know why bad things happen to good people, but I know it does happen. I certainly don't know why an all-powerful and all-loving God would allow such things to happen. God is allowed to have his own reasons and not inform me of them. But through all of the suffering, through all of the pain, losses that we experience in life, one thing I know is that God is in charge. God is in charge. He's still holding all things together. He's still moving all of history toward his good and perfect will and purposes, as he's been doing for a long, long time. And sometimes I do figure out that lesson I was supposed to have learned through my suffering, my particular struggle. Not always, but sometimes I learn that lesson. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes I'm able to draw from those lessons learned and use them to help someone else who's going through the same thing that I've been through. And I may even come to a point someday of thanking God for turning all of those hardships and struggles of my life in the past into something good and useful. For those who are called by God, for those who love God, that's exactly what he does. So knowledge of God's providence in all things helps us endure patiently as we wait for the glory that will be revealed in us. Prayer, providence, two ways God helps us as we wait. The third way is predestination, often a very controversial subject of church doctrine. But at its roots, it's meant to be a comforting teaching, not a divisive one or one to bicker over. For those who God foreknew, Paul continues in verses 29 and 30, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This section of Paul's letter to the Romans began with glory in verse 18, and here at the end of this section in verse 30, it ends with glory as well. Much could be said about this passage of Scripture, but the point is that God is determined to bring His own people into glory. He's determined to bring His own people into glory. We're not left as cosmic orphans on this rock called earth, just awaiting obliteration someday. For those who have been called by God according to His purposes, who have been adopted by God through His love in His Son, Christ, Jesus Christ, there is a hope of future glory, the redemption of the body, life everlasting. There's a glory that is worth all of the patient waiting that we do in this life. We're destined for glory, and we can be sure of that as we wait patiently and we endure. Predestination simply means that God has destined His own toward a certain end of glory. God's work in us begins with His foreknowing, His choosing, His electing grace, His initiative of entering into a relationship with us, sending His Son Jesus to die for us. The end for which God has destined us is that we should be conformed to the image of God's own Son, that we would be glorified with Christ. So having been predestined, it leads to calling, which leads to justifying, which leads to glorifying. God has unconditionally elected or called us His own, and we now have eternal security in Him. There's a comfort in knowing that no matter how bad things get in the here and now, there is a hereafter that is secure, certain, and for sure, a future glory that's not worth even comparing to what we're going through right now. Prayer by the Spirit, providence of God, predestination. These are three ways God helps us to wait patiently and endure until He comes again. All we need is just a little patience. Unfortunately, we just can't order this online and wait for it to show up on our doorsteps. Patience isn't something that we can just take and use or something that's turned on and off. Some things in life take time to develop and grow. It's more of an organic thing, kind of like fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit. So what, we need patience in order to develop patience? Well, kind of. We prepare ourselves to receive the gift of patience. It doesn't grow very well in the soil of hurry and worry. We do our part of cultivating a soil in our hearts for the gift of patience so that it will grow in our lives over time. How? Well, we can slow down for one. We can set aside time this Advent season to wait, to watch, and to wonder. We can ponder the Scriptures instead of just reading over them quick a sec in a few minutes. We can take time to listen to a child or a friend or to help someone else who's in need. One more thing to do? No, something different to do. Pray and let the Holy Spirit pray. Trust in God's providence and eternal security, remembering how God, in His providence, brought out of the stump of Jesse through the line of David a Savior who would be called Christ the Lord. Reflect on how the same Lord in Christ will come again one day. We hope for what we do not yet have. We wait for it patiently. It's also good to remember that we have a very patient God. God who has been so patient with us, with me, with my failures and my sins and my struggles in life. He's the same God who waits for the gospel of His kingdom to be preached to all nations. He waits for His people to hear the gospel and respond in repentance and placing their faith and their trust in His Son, Jesus. God waits patiently for you, me, and others to believe and receive the eternal life He has offered. God waits patiently as His people advance the gospel of Jesus toward kingdom shalom in the here and now. All the while, He's moving all things forward toward a hereafter of glory. So God bless us all as we patiently wait, as we wait in the hope of the Christ who has come and will come again. Let's pray together. Eternal God, we thank you for being so patient and long-suffering with us. Forgive us for losing our patience with one another, with you, with ourselves. And maybe even this morning we've lost our patience with our children or our spouses or with our roommates. Sometimes it's so difficult to wait, Lord, to wait for your timing of things. Help us in the waiting and give us the gift of patience, we pray. And in the waiting, may we experience your presence, strength, and the deep abiding joy that endures beyond momentary happiness. And now, Lord, as we celebrate communion together, we pray that these common elements of juice and bread would become for us the bread and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, sustaining us in this life and nourishing us for life eternal. To you alone be all the glory, Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit is one eternal God forever and ever. Amen. O come, Emmanuel. Let's stand as we sing the first two verses of number 328. Table has been prepared for us this morning. If you want to follow along in our liturgy, it's on the purple form in your bulletins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Gospels tell us that on the first day of the week, the day on which our Lord rose from the dead, he appeared to some of his disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Come then to this joyful feast of the Lord. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right for us to give thanks. It is our joy and our peace at all times and in all places to give thanks to you, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Christ our Lord.
Let us pray. We bless you for your continual love, O God, and your care for every creature. We praise you for forming us in your image and calling us to be your people. We thank you that you did not abandon us in our rebellion against your love, but you sent prophets and teachers to lead us into the way of salvation. Above all, we thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to deliver us from the way of sin and death by the obedience of his life, by his suffering upon the cross, and by his resurrection from the dead. We praise you that he now reigns with you in glory and ever lives to pray for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads us into truth, defends us in adversity, and out of every people unites us into one holy church. Therefore, with a whole company of saints in heaven and on earth, we worship and glorify you, God most holy. Amen. And we give thanks to God the Father that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We all say together the memorial. We shall do as our Lord commands. We proclaim that our Lord Jesus was sent by the Father into the world, that he took upon himself our flesh and blood and bore the wrath of God against our sin. We confess that he was condemned to die that we might be pardoned, and suffered death that we might live. We proclaim that he is risen to make us right with God, and that he shall come again in the glory of his new creation. This we do now and until he comes again. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, show forth among us the presence of your life-giving word and spirit to sanctify us and your whole church through this sacrament. Grant that all who share the body and the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ may be one in him and may remain faithful in love and hope. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. And now, as our Savior Christ taught us, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.